Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are back. Let's do something a little bit different right now. Our Stu Steinberg, our Vietnam vet segment, he's not going to be on today, so we're going to fill a little bit of time, do something a little bit interesting, take it to the crowd. Let's take it to the streets here. Let's pull down the background music and pull up the Tipping Point Boone Cutler Facebook page. The group itself, kind of scroll through. There's been some comments. Those that are listening right now, we've got a lot of people listening on the app from that group. Let's just kind of pull off some stories, things people are talking about. Let's pull the warfighter perspective right off of social media right now, right off of the Tipping Point Boone Cutler Facebook page. What's some of the stuff you're seeing there,
Sean? Well, you know what? The first one that jumped out at me today is Ali Talabani put up. Today is the 24th anniversary of Desert Storm.
Right, and interesting that Ali Talabani, this is a guy that served. He was he was an interpreter for a brief amount of time in Iraq, helping out Americans, and he's still in Iraq. He lives in Kurdistan now, and he's helping out. He sends us reports. He tells us what's happening in Iraq. And the other day, he sent us a report that said, "Hey, does Iran have Chinooks?" And so we did some research. Yes, Iran does have Chinooks, and they're saying, hey, you know, the news is reporting that Iran is bringing in, is resupplying people in Iraq or forces in Iraq, which is pretty interesting. So now we have Iranian aircraft in Iraq, and we're getting reports from the Iraqi news from guys that are in our social media group.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, I was on active duty when that happened.
When what happened?
When Desert Storm.
Okay, yeah.
24 years ago, I was on active duty, and, you know, I was home on leave after a basic training in tech school, and I was slated to go to Howard Air Force Base, Panama. That was my assignment. I was 3 days away from going to Howard Air Force Base, Panama. All my stuff, except for the one suitcase that I had, was on its way to Panama. I get a phone call from, I think it was Biloxi, where I went to tech school, and they said, you need to report to the closest Air Force Base to you. Which is that? And I said, well, that would be Luke Air Force Base in Phoenix, Arizona. They said, you've just been diverted. I'm like, what? Huh? You know, and I'm a little two-striper, don't know, diddly squat, just out of basic and tech school. I'm like, what do you mean I've been diverted?
You're like, wait, this is way too sexy for the Air Force.
Yeah, well, hold on. Where are you sending me? Well, we can't tell you that right now. I'm like, oh, what? Huh? So I'm at home on leave before I'm heading to Panama, and I tell my parents, I got to go to Luke. I've been diverted somewhere. And my mom's freaking out, like, oh, my God, they're sending him to the Persian Gulf. They're sending him to the Persian Gulf.
Right.
So I got to Luke Air Force Base, and I got the call, like, late on a Friday. I had to go first thing on Monday morning. So I had to sit and stew all weekend on. I go out there Monday morning. I go to the CBPO personnel folks, and I sit down, and they go, you like rice? And I'm like, what? Huh? You go, yeah, you're not going to Panama. You're going to Japan, dude. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, and your testicles once again rescended into your away from your body, right?
Yeah, they drop back
down. They drop back down, right? Yep. The pucker factor just kind of released itself. You know, that is an interesting thing because there's a lot of people that maybe don't deploy, but they get that call like they're going to deploy, mm-hmm. and you get that feeling, that little, hey, you know, stuff just got real mm-hmm. feeling. And even if you're in the Air Force, you know, I give respect to anybody who's willing to stand behind a gun to defend this country. And I see it all the same because you go where your country tells you, do what you're supposed to do. Not everybody gets the assignment and the job to go kick a door somewhere in Solder City. However, if you're out there and you're doing your thing, this is an all-volunteer army. This is all-volunteer military. You know, that's why we say it is the descendants of Sparta. The people that do this every day, day in and day out, truly are doing it because it is it's something inside. Nobody's forcing them to do that. And now if you look at it, now we got, you know, people, warfighters that are greater to their that are further to their retirement than not to retire. Meaning they've made it more than halfway to their retirement and have never seen a day of peace during their enlistment.
I know. It's amazing to think of that. I mean, 9/11 happened, you know, in 2001. It's now 2015. You could be 14 years in right now, and you've not seen a day of peace.
You know, we have a military today that literally, you know, when you sign that line, yeah, you might need a little bit of college money, but at the end of the day, you're going to go someplace, and you're going to do the real job.
You know, for the most part, I mean, some people don't. But we're all, and like you said, we're all supporting the same mission.
Right.
And you know, when I was on active duty, I thought,
yeah. I think it's different, though. I think when you join up during wartime is different than when you join up
sure.
during peacetime thinking a war may start.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, when you volunteer for the military today, bottom line is you're volunteering to go to war.
It's a very strong possibility, especially if you join the Marine Corps or the Army.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because we've put a lot of weight on the shoulders of those two branches. over the last 14 years.
Yeah, and everybody's pulling their weight, and they're doing a fantastic job. We got some news, though. I mean, is there any – pull up another thread on there.
Actually, I did just pull up a thread.
What's some of the stuff people were saying?
And I had this thing on my list to talk about a couple weeks ago on my show, and it's kind of got pushed to the back. There's this company that does this thing that takes scents from home. Have you heard this?
No.
And they put them into a candle. And they send you like a box of candles from home. So like scents that bring you back, like smells that bring you back home.
Mm-hmm.
So this company, Airwick,
right?
They like get the scent of your baseball glove or something like that. And they put it into a candle and they put it into a jar and they ship it to you overseas. And a lot of guys are starting to get these things from Airwick shipped to them, or, you know, loved ones contact Airwick and say, you know what, can you send stuff like this? Like they can take the smell of your grandma's spaghetti and meatballs and put it into a candle and ship it to you. And the guys who get it say it takes them right back home. It's like, you know, I'm sitting in a tent or a barracks over in, you know, the middle of godforsaken hellhole.
Right.
And all of a sudden this package comes, you open up this candle and you take a whiff and it's like, that's grandma's spaghetti.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because there are some things that I think America doesn't know about when a warfighter is deployed and you're really, you're really over there. There's some rules that we can kind of, they're kind of unspoken rules. Maybe we can open up about. And this is part of it. And this is how I see it's part of it. If you see a guy taking a nap and you're deployed, unless you have to wake that warfighter up, you never wake up anybody that's taking a nap. Why? Because they could be dreaming of home.
Yep.
You never interrupt anybody taking a nap. And two, the other thing is you're either fighting or you should either be fighting or resting. I mean, that's just the way it is. When you see somebody, I mean, I've seen guys get pissed about getting woken up, and you know it was because they were in a better place. They were in a happier place. They were enjoying something that they can't enjoy in that moment. And that's what this does here. This lets you – but I also see an opportunity – for people to play some pretty crude-ass jokes.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That's where my mind went, obviously.
If your boys got a hold of a scent, I doubt Airwick would do that for them. But, I mean, how great would that be? You know, you're sitting there,
it's Taco Tuesday. And
And you're, you know, you've been there 4.5 months. When you're deployed over there, what's the point to where you're like, oh, my God, I just can't take this anymore?
Well, I don't know about that, but I can tell you that it looks long. Like when I got to Iraq for Operation Iraqi Freedom 3, it was OIF 3. There, we fell in on the unit there that we were with, and they were already halfway through their tour, and so it's like you're the new guy, and they're like, "Hey, I can't wait to get out of here. I only got, you know, 4 more months," and you're like, "Yeah, I got 10 months."
Uh huh.
You know. And you're like, whoa, 10 months, you know. It's like that scene in Platoon where the one guy says, you know, you got to start counting backwards so it doesn't look like you have so much time left. Like, I've been, you know, to make it seem easier.
Absolutely. I know when I did my 90 days over in the sandbox, you know, every day is you're counting off to, all right, when am I getting out of here? When am I getting out of here? And where I was a little tiny remote communication site, and we saw nobody. I mean, nobody. We got mail on Tuesday. That was it. We got mail and supplies delivered to us on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of live Tuesday to Tuesday because we were working 12 on, 12 off, no days off, just. And, oh, man, getting a package from home was the best thing in the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember that. But I do remember that I remember talking to the guy. I remember specifically sitting up in the lineup right before you go out the wire, and you're with the guys, and they're talking. And I remember this one conversation. There's this guy. I forget. I didn't get along with him real well at first. It was one of those alpha ego things. We didn't like each other, and then we kind of worked it out. But long story short, he's like, you know, I'm a true believer. That's all there is to it. I'm a true believer. When I commit to something, I'm a true believer. And it was the same way in Iraq. And he was like, yeah, you're a true believer. He goes, but wait till you've been here 4 months. And I was like, so it's amazing how people can see things. And in literally 120 days, what he was saying was, your entire perspective of everything will change in 120 days.
Mm-hmm.
Do a complete flip. And I saw guys go through that. I mean, it's a long time to be deployed. You'll see guys, they'll go through bouts of depression. You'll see guys go through bouts of anger. I mean, you're dealing with so many different stressors that, yeah, I mean, a lot can change in 120 days.
Did you notice when you looked in a mirror the difference in you from, you know, day one that you landed in Iraq to 120 days later?
No, but people told me. People told me.
Wait, because you see yourself every day, so you don't see it.
Right. Yeah, people told me. And I could see it in other guys during the deployment because, when you get there, you'll kind of branch out and guys will go to different places. You won't see each other for a few months. And then you got like a big headshed meeting. Everybody comes into one place and you're like, wow, you're really screwed up. And, you start really kind of looking at people differently. It changes things.
Absolutely, it changes you. But you get through it, and you are where you are today.
Yeah, it's, and I'm telling everybody out there, stay the course because you never know how things are going to change. Remember, survival is nothing more than staying alive long enough to catch a break. Speaking of break, let's take one.